Hey everybody, this is So Many Sequels. I'm Josh.
I'm Garrett.
And I'm David.
Welcome to the show. It's a brand new month.
Are
we excited for April showers to bring May flowers?
Yeah, and you know what May flowers bring?
June. Pilgrims. John Wick June.
You get it?
Yeah,
Mayflower brings pilgrims.
I like mine.
You know, hey, I don't know what June holds for us. It's a ways off. Remember we talked about Kai June? Which might dovetail into a movie you saw this week, Josh.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah. As always, I want to kick off the show just kind of catching up on what we've been watching this week or what's been going on in our worlds. I watched a couple new movies, so I'll go ahead and start because I know Garrett's got a classic to talk about. Let me talk about this experience I had where they do this at AMC and at Warren, or Regal, but I went to Regal for this one. And it's a mystery movie. They do it on Monday nights. You pay $5 for the ticket, but you don't know what the movie is until it starts playing. And it's always a movie that is coming out relatively soon. And this past week, it was a movie called Sting. I had never heard of it. It was not anywhere on my radar to be coming out. And it is a Australian creature feature horror movie about a space alien spider who crash lands on Earth, becomes the pet of a young girl, and then grows beyond her control and starts to try to eat people. So that's that's how my week started. Questions?
Did you stay for the whole movie?
Yeah. It was short too, which is good for that kind of movie.
Oh, that's key. That's got to be key.
Yeah.
How many people were there?
You know what? It was a pretty good. It was a pretty decent crowd.
What was the crowd reaction? Were they involved? Did they verbalize their pleasure, displeasure?
Some laughter that I think was well intended, because it has some moments where it's like, oh, this is like, this is so bad I'm laughing, but I'm enjoying it laughing. You know what I mean? It's that kind of movie.
Okay.
It's not like, you know, Garrett, you'll know this one, Megan. Very much leaned into how ridiculous it was. This one could have done that better.
So you try to take yourself too seriously. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, that's a problem. That can be a problem. That doesn't sound like a movie that should be taken seriously. Especially, you said it stars Superior Donuts, James Fowler.
Jermaine Fowler, yes.
And so for those two people, which is Josh and myself, who remember that show.
I did. I was like, I recognize him from somewhere. And then when the credits
you
finally rolled
at the end. You had to IMDb it, didn't you? You had to look it up.
Yeah. So
100%.
Exactly. His name rolled in the credits. And I was like, yes, Jermaine Fowler. I know who that is. But then I had to figure out from where. So that was fun. And then I guess I had a theme this week unintentionally, because I went to see the new Godzilla Kong New Empire movie, which has had a very interesting response, I have to say. I went in blind because I didn't even know it came out, honestly. It was so far off my radar. And I just looked at the showtimes because I was bored, and I was like, oh, look, this is showing very soon. Let's go try it. And it's certainly not the best Godzilla movie to come out this year, over the past year, because that would be Godzilla Minus One.
Sure.
But it has fun moments. Here's the Rotten Tomatoes breakdown for you guys. Critics, 55. Audience, 92. They love it.
Oh boy.
They love it.
Love it.
And it's
now,
because
how does that,
from what I can gather,
how does that compare?
Because I listened to another podcast reviewing the movie, and from what I can gather, it seems like people, what they don't like about the other movies is that there's too much humans just talking and not enough monsters fighting. So this movie is almost nothing but monsters fighting, to the point where there's, to me, I thought there was very little dialogue It's just monsters fighting for 2 hours. And that's what they wanted.
That's what we claimed we wanted.
And that's what they got. And they got 92 on Rotten Tomatoes. So, and an $80 million opening weekend, which was above expectations.
How did it compare? Because we reviewed Godzilla vs. Kong a few years ago for the pod. How does it compare to you in that respect?
You know, I have to go a little bit closer to the critics because as much as I did like watching the kaiju fights on the IMAX screen, I do eventually get bored with it. And there was a little too... Mm-hmm. It's like they overcorrected for me. Maybe that was enough for the audience, but for me, I needed a little less of that. So they still needed a sweet spot, and they didn't quite hit it. But hey, I'm glad it works. Go to the movies, watch the fight, watch the fight monsters.
What I still love about it, and just having not seen it,
yeah,
is that Garrett and we were far from the only people to make this suggestion. Or make this call, Garrett. We were right about the tag team nature of the follow up of Godzilla and Kong working together.
Yeah.
That seemed like the natural evolution of the thing.
I mean, I have no doubt that this is taking its storylines from early 2000s WWE and following that story arc. And you know, if there is a fourth, you know, these two will be fighting again. You just be careful. They'll start off still on the same page, but something will rift them apart.
Yes. Well, I mean, can they coexist? That's the storyline. Can they I mean, but where do they go from here? Steel Cage or
Adam Cole, MJF?
What I've heard other people say is they want Godzilla X Kong in space, and that is the only destination. That's the final frontier. That's the only place they can go from here. So let's get it. Let's hopefully it's done well with the audiences, done well so far financially. We'll see how it carries on.
I had to double check
because
there's what we want. There are only two actors from the last movie who returned for this one.
Is it Brian Tyree Henry?
He's one of them. Yeah.
I like that guy.
This is a weird franchise where like every movie almost has an entirely different cast.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's a far cry from the Godzilla that came out in 2014, I want to feel like.
Right.
The Gareth Edwards one, is that who made 2014's Godzilla, the one that started this whole thing?
Right. Yes, that's the one that started this particular MonsterVerse. And then Skull Island's really the only one with an exception because it was set in 1973. Everything else was set in present day, I think.
I think so.
Give or take. So I don't know. Anyway, Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. Go check it out if you want to watch monsters fight. If you're if you're looking for something closer to Godzilla Minus One that will like move you as a film, probably not this. Probably not.
Yeah, go watch The Sting. Or Sting.
Or Sting, yeah.
I would watch 1973's The Sting. That's better.
What about you guys, Garrett? You deep dove into a classic this week, didn't you?
Yeah, man. I was just looking for something to watch. You know, sometimes you just need to watch a movie that you've seen a few times that you need to see something in the background, right? And then it takes over. And that's what this one did. We went back and watched Tombstone with. Let me tell you what. The A-list cast is A-list. The B-list cast is A-list. The C-list cast, A-list, at this point in time. I mean, this movie goes from Val Kilmer and Kurt Russell all the way down to, like, Thomas Hayden Church, Michael Rooker, Billy Bob Thornton. Like, it is just banger after banger after banger. And it is so enjoyable that it just sucks you in. You know, I turned it on. I was like, Tombstone, great movie. I know this is a great movie. I can respect this movie. I can tune in, tune out, and then I didn't tune out. I just watched it. It was so much fun.
I've not seen it personally, but I've heard a lot of great things about it. It's one of those ones I need to check off of my list.
I can't believe that. I feel like you would like it. I mean, I don't know. I feel like for some reason I believe that you would like Westerns in general, but
oh, I do.
Yeah, so
yeah, he does. But also, yeah. I just am stunned. It seems so much up your alley that I almost don't believe you.
Yeah, I mean, same.
I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen clips. I know generally what happens. You know, I'm your Huckleberry. All that nonsense.
I'll be your Huckleberry. Oh yes.
Well, is that the one where Powers Booth is like, well,
yes,
bye.
Powers Booth smoking all kinds of opium and stuff, all crazy mess. That's why I know.
That's why I know I'm gonna love it. Is because you put Powers Booth in anything, that's a David movie.
it is truly just a wonderful performance from everyone.
But it's just one of those things for me where like just the fates have never aligned. Like my parents didn't have it at home, and not for any particular reason, they just didn't have it at home. And then I never, you know, ran across it at a Blockbuster or whatever. Yeah. It never seemed to be streaming when I wanted it to be streaming.
Well, let me tell you what, it's on Hulu right now, so go watch it.
It's on my list. This last year I created my what I call my midlife crisis Western list, and I had a pretty great August last year, just crossing off Westerns: 3:10 to Yuma, The Magnificent Seven, Hell or High Water, a whole bunch of other good ones, classic and modern. So, and it's on the list. I want to do it. You got to cross
Josh,
it off.
Josh, you like Tombstone?
I do. It's been a real long time since I watched Tombstone, so now you got me tempted to revisit it for the exact
Turn
same
it on,
reason.
You won't
I'm pretty positive that I will still like it. It's like, you said it's on Hulu? Maybe I need to do that ASAP.
Yeah, it's on Hulu.
It's the combination of my two comfort things, which is Westerns and cool guys.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I like cool guys doing cool crimes, and I like Westerns. So.
Cool guys doing cool crimes. I do feel I need to watch it on...
Go ahead.
I do feel like I need to watch it on Hulu, on Disney Plus, though.
Yeah.
A little extra.
There's a moment, I don't want to ruin everything, but there's a moment where Billy Bob Thornton's in it, and he had been, you know, for lack of a better word, punked a little earlier. And he was out looking for some revenge. And he goes through this whole thing where he's about to get this revenge. And the way that the scene develops and how they shot it, where you see Billy Bob Thornton's character just totally washed out. Man, if you've seen the movie, you know the scene I'm talking about. I don't want to spoil it for David, but it is so funny. Especially because Billy Bob Thornton is just such a good actor. Like, it is so funny.
You want to do it tonight?
I might do it tonight. I have a late start tomorrow, so I might do it tonight.
Do it.
That makes me tempted to start tonight. We'll see. Before we wrap up this section, there was a piece of movie news that I thought that at least David needed to comment on. And that is that after a long, long time of trying to figure out what's going on with this franchise, Pirates of the Caribbean is getting a reboot, confirmed from producer Jerry Bruckheimer. Of course, it hasn't been announced by the studio or anything, but that's as good as a confirmation as anyone's gotten. And he's saying it will be a reboot. Yeah. We don't know what that means, but not a sequel.
No, starting from scratch.
Yeah,
maybe.
So what do you think? Because I consider you the resident Pirates fan expert.
Yeah, I would consider myself... I love Pirates of the Caribbean. Yeah. The first one, the second one, the third one. Fourth and fifth ones are not that great. But still, I think that there's still something they can do there. I think it's such a genre that only exists for that franchise. Like, nobody else is making movies about pirates, really. So, the opportunity's there. Now, personally, I'd love them to just take, like, a 20, 30-year break. I think that while there's still stuff you can do... The stink is too fresh off of the most recent film they did. So if it's got to be done, my personal take would be that there is a character that they have built up in the parks, this character Red, who started off, it was this animatronic that started off as a part of this sort of slave trade scene in the ride where the pirates were, like, you know, auctioning off people and goats and animals and whatever, right? They're just auctioning off things, and but people, you know, in modern sensibilities, people were like, that's kind of effed up, can we not do that? And so now Red became one of the pirates, and they're still auctioning off stuff, but it's more like animals and rum and you know, foodstuffs and stuff. So now Red's a pirate, and they've turned that character, they've completely taken it and reimagined it into this whole thing, and there's merch for her at the parks. There's a character meet you can do with Red the Pirate. So, like, they've laid the groundwork for a character they can adapt for the movies, which they didn't do the first time. There was no Jack Sparrow before the movies came out. There was no Will Turner and Elizabeth Swann. Those things didn't exist. So they've kind of got something they can actually bring from the park to the movies if they wanted to do that. Personally, if David has his way, it would be like Karen Gillan would play that role. I don't feel like she's probably a big enough name, so they're probably going to court someone like a Margot Robbie or a Scarlett Johansson or whoever they can get. But that'd be my pick. And also, I would put her in a similar role as like a Jack Sparrow. I would say don't pin the whole movie on her as main character, because that's what I think a lot of people forget about those first Pirates movies, is like Elizabeth Swann and Will Turner are the main characters. It's not Jack floats in to their lives. So anyway, I would love it if they take a, like a long break. That's kind of my biggest thing, is like I think a lot of franchises need to take a good long break, but in lieu of that, here's my suggestion.
What do you think, Garrett? You into new Pirates? You ready for a pirate?
A pirate's life. I feel like I gave up on them after the third one, and they have yet to court me back. So until they give me a reason, I'd rather have another Pirates franchise.
I'm in the middle here, because I would also prefer. My first reaction was, what if you just made pirates cool again? Without, you know, like, could it just be something new? A new pirate story versus rebooting? Yeah. But at the same time, I also really like the first couple Pirates movies.
Yeah. And first two, for sure. The third one was like, all right. And then the fourth one was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. I forget where I fell off, but definitely never saw the last one. Anyway, that's the news of the week. If you're watching, or if you're listening to the show via podcast, through Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review. That helps us out a lot. Good rating and review there in your podcast app. And if you're watching us on YouTube and you like what you've seen so far, don't forget to hit that like and subscribe button. You can also catch our movie reviews dropping on our channel every week. And if you subscribe, we're getting closer and closer to our next goal. We just hit our most recent goal, if you listened to our last episode of 121. Now we've got our next goal of 137. Why? None of your business. But it's 137 now. So, subscribe if you haven't done so yet. This month on the show, we're introducing a brand new theme, A24-pril. We're very proud of it.
Still don't know if the name really works.
We love A24.
I hope people love it. Wait, look at how my name is spelled. I just want to call it out.
Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
Get 24.
Oh, Gary 24 it.
That's not funny.
Yes, we're doing A24. Don't worry, we've tested it with focus groups and it went over very well. each one of us has chosen an A24 movie to review this month, and we are also going to review a brand new film from the studio, Civil War, which comes out April 12th, I think. Somewhere in mid-April. You can Google it. Anyway, we're going to talk about those movies, and in this episode we're going to reveal those. But first, let's talk about why A24. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Pretty much every film bro's favorite indie studio. It's become that kind of like, this is cinema of the modern letterboxed user. We all love it. I mean, we're pretty shameless about that, I think. We largely enjoy A24 films, other than the instances where David's a weenie, probably. But what do you guys think? What's your connection to A24? Let me ask this. Assuming it's not the film you've chosen, is there like a movie? What is like the first A24 movie you remember seeing where you were like, oh, I recognize the studio as quality? I'm afraid of David.
Here, go first.
Oh, man, that's a tough question, because I'm trying to think of like their movies. Yeah. For me, I feel like Lady Bird is really the one that kind of like I always go to when I think of A24, is like what made them stand out. Lady Bird, Greta Gerwig, Saoirse Ronan, And that really, I feel like them being nominated for Best Actor, Picture, and Director, I feel like really put them on the map. But then some of the other ones, again, it is the movie that I picked, and it stands out as one of the like weirdest things that I can remember seeing also. And that contrast is what I always think of, and so mm-hmm. I'm always at least interested when I see an A24 movie come out at this point in time. But for me, I think Lady Bird is the one that I always think of.
That's a great answer.
What about you, David? Do you have one?
Honestly, guys, I've not seen that many A24 films. Like, I legitimately tried to find out when we announced that we were doing this. I think I've seen, like, four, maybe. And I think the first one, you're not going to believe this, the first A24 film I actually saw was Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Wow.
Look, I'll be honest with you. They do a lot of creepy horror thriller movies, and that ain't my bag, all right? I'm cool guy Western, as we've established. So, you know, little Susie gets her head knocked off by a telephone pole wasn't my thing. I did watch Hereditary eventually, and I did watch The Iron Claw, and I did eventually watch Lady Bird. So I would say The Iron Claw and Lady Bird is where I was like, oh, these movies are good sometimes. And by good, I mean a movie David will watch.
Yeah.
Hereditary, that movie can F off. That was not my thing at all.
Yeah, that movie's great.
The movie's off-putting and spooky, and I don't respond well to spooky behavior. So I'm trying very desperately to cross off a big chunk here of great A24 films, and I'm relying on you guys not to pick spooky movies.
Okay.
Which I think you've done. I'm not sure. I haven't looked to see what you've chosen.
Who can really
to
say?
Subjugate me to.
Who can really
but
say?
But that said, I very quickly became aware that they were building a reputation probably somewhere between 2016, 2017. This was around the time of Lady Bird, Moonlight, films that were more so distributed at the time by A24. Just, you know, I just started seeing that logo everywhere, and I started seeing the t-shirts. I started seeing the hats. And I started seeing the memes of people posting A24 cinema memes and stuff like that. So while I haven't taken a deep dive, you know, I have no disrespect towards it. I actually really appreciate the thing, their goal, which we can talk about in a little bit. But mm-hmm. What about you, Josh?
So the first one that I can really remember going, whoa, this is different, is The Witch. I don't know if either of you ever watched The Witch, but I watched The Witch.
No, but you and I were roommates at the time,
yeah,
and I refused to watch it.
Yeah, I watched it.
That says a lot.
See, right? I watched it sitting cross-legged on the floor with a comforter wrapped around me. Right in front of the TV, like Pongo in the 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah. I think it's a great shot to Pongo.
It was rough. It was rough, but I was like, okay, this is a different breed of horror movie.
Who directed that? Who directed The Witch?
Robert I feel Eggers, like I believe.
Eggers, yeah, it's that guy.
A24's whole thing is that they want to produce movies or distribute movies that come from a unique perspective, a distinct point of view. That's mm-hmm. kind of like their goal, is to highlight voices and stories that they believe that others may not tell, which I guess is why, David, you perceive them as being so weird and creepy. It's that they do some of those weird and creepy things that you might not see elsewhere. But they also do just like a pretty good range of odd and bizarre and unique and interesting and just sometimes even more human than you'll see from a more mainstream, larger studio. I mean, it's interesting because this is like, I wonder at what point is a studio no longer considered indie? At what point does it grow to the point where it's just a big one, you know?
And I think when they start having Academy Award winning films, which
it just did
not take very long for A24. Yeah.
Which we're going to have. I know we have at least one of the more strange, bizarre A24 films on our list for this month. But they've also done everything from, like we just said, Everything Everywhere All at Once, which won Best Picture last year. The Whale, which won Brendan Fraser his Oscar the year before. Great mm-hmm. beloved horror movies like Hereditary and Midsommar. I know, David, you don't like them, but they are good.
They're good.
And then also plenty of...
They're not for me.
Plenty of off-the-wall comedies as well. Bodies is silly. So they cover a big range of movies is basically the point we're getting at here. So do we want to go ahead and jump in and start going around talking about each of these movies we've chosen?
Yeah, we can.
Great.
Let's start with you, Garrett.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I am, I don't even know how to explain this movie. You know, it's not really explainable in a way that's understandable. You just kind of have to see it. But this is the first A24 movie that I really remember being like, wow, this is weird and different. And I appreciate it, because it's something that is so out of left field. And it was an actor who was, you know, in a verge of being typecast, really doing something to really make sure he wasn't. I am talking about Daniel Radcliffe in his starring role in Swiss Army Man alongside Paul Dano. Let me see. The best description I can give this is: a man stranded on an island tries to escape after becoming friends with a corpse that washes ashore. Paul Dano is that man, and Daniel Radcliffe is that corpse. And through this whole thing,
what I'm talking about.
There's farts, there's there's weirdness, man. There's David. You are gonna hate this. You're gonna hate this. It's weird and creepy. It's weird and creepy, but not
my understanding. My understanding is a black comedy, right?
Yeah, it's funny. It's not scary. It's creepy.
A dark comedy.
No, it's just so. It is just one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen, and it is the Daniels. It is the
Daniels
best directors and the best picture winning. And this is the first. This is their directorial debut as well. So like, this is their first movie, and it is weird, man. It is so weird, but like, also. Again, one of those things that if you get into it, it can give you that weird sentimental, emotional touch kind of moment where it like, why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling in this weird, off the wall, crazy movie? And it's just something that you don't expect. And it's just really well done. And again, Daniel Radcliffe coming off of the Harry Potter, really trying to be something different. And he is.
And I'm going to say this. I have not seen his full filmography, but I can tell you.
It's stunning.
Paul Dano doesn't miss.
Oh, and Paul Dano doesn't miss either.
Paul Dano, no, if you look up his filmography, it's like hit after hit after. And like not necessarily like big box office hit.
No.
But just like critically acclaimed movies. If Paul Dano is on the poster, you know it's going to be a good movie.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's
too.
My pick for A24 Pro.
I'm excited to revisit that. I saw that when it came out too. Super weird. I don't know what to say because I don't want to spoil it for any viewers who might join along or for David who's going to have to watch it. It has a lot going for it, though. It also stars Mary Elizabeth Winstead, I wanted to mention.
Yes, yes.
Who's great, and I love to see her pop up anytime. But yeah, there's nothing else to say once you find out that one of the stars is a corpse the entire film. And that's just, you're just going to have to find out how that works.
Do we at least see, I'll watch the movie. I'll find out. My questions will be answered.
True,
but all right. Starting. I mean, at least there's humor.
There's humor there.
There's humor. So you know, I can get by with that.
All right.
You want no weird girl clicking her tongue a lot. My pick.
Yeah, you want to go
for A24 Pro. We're gonna go with one that was a pretty big hit. One of their more financially successfuls, one that almost launched a certain comedian into awards territory, and that is Uncut Gems from the Safdie brothers.
Oh,
sometimes known as Uncut Gems.
Uncut Gems.
Gems.
Uncut Gems.
All I've ever heard about this movie is that it's super stressful.
Yeah.
And that it's just going to put you on edge the whole time. But it has Adam Sandler, so I was like, I could at least... you know, maybe I can put my, I can attach myself to the familiarity.
See,
I'm just saying, man.
I'm way more upset about you picking this than any horror I could have subjected you to, because this is a, however long it is, an anxiety attack on film.
Oh, I'm worried, but that was one of the ones that I was like, you know, this is one I didn't see when it came out. I missed my chance.
Yeah.
So maybe I can get a chance to come back. But I mean, I was looking at other movies. I was looking at Moonlight. I was looking at The Green Knight. Basically, anything with night or light in the title, and none of those were really quite what I was hoping for yet. I thought about going back and making you guys watch The Iron Claw,
No, sir.
Okay. All right. So yeah, I wanted to see this when it came out. Never got around to it. It did pretty well. I remember Adam Sandler joked that he has that. There's that really popular TikTok sound of the guys who lost to Adam Sandler, mm-hmm. or something like that, where he almost won a major award. I don't remember what award it was, but yeah. Probably just People's Choice, I'm sure. Anyhow, what do you guys think? You kind of told me you're anxious now.
It's a good pick. It's a good pick. I haven't seen it since it came out, which came out in 2019, so it's been a minute. But to reiterate, it's an anxiety attack on film is how I experienced it. But very good. I mean, it is one of those like, wow, that is an incredible performance from Adam Sandler. He really like, it's like it was built for him, and it probably was in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like watching a guy just kind of lose it. Mm-hmm. That's all I can describe it as. Yeah. What do you think? How do you feel about watching this again, Garrett?
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I agree with you, but I liked it. Like, I liked the experience. It was chaotic. It was stressful. But I was like, oh, I liked that. Because, again, it was different. I appreciated... Because it honestly felt like living in a big city, you know? And that is, like, what I feel like the environment would be in. And it put me in there. And, yeah, it was really difficult to focus on everything because there is just so much chaos. It's a chaotic fever dream. So I'm very excited about this one too.
I can't wait. Yeah, it's very memeable. A lot of memes came out of this movie. A lot of great quotes come out of this movie. There's a performance from The Weeknd in this movie. There's a lot. It's
and oh my god, the basketball player. I want to say Kevin Garnett.
Kevin G. Come on, Kevin.
Yeah.
Give me my uncut gems. I can't wait.
All right. Well, Josh, that brings us to you.
It's going to be silly. Yeah. No. Okay. So, no, I'm not going to subject you to a horror movie. I chose a film that I think none of us have seen. I know that I haven't. And that is 2017's The Florida Project. It was directed by Sean Baker, who hasn't actually directed a lot, now that I mention it. For some reason, I was like, I feel like I know his name, but nope, not really. But it does star Willem Dafoe in a role that he was nominated for an Oscar for the year it came out. This is a movie that Letterboxd describes as the story of a precocious 6-year-old and her ragtag group of friends whose summer break is filled with childhood wonder, possibility, and a sense of adventure while the adults around them struggle with hard times. And this is essentially a story about a family who kind of lives in poverty around Disney World. Literally.
I wondered if that was an element to
it. Yeah, the Florida Project is a reference, apparently, to what Walt Disney World was called when it was being built. It was referred to as the Florida Project, apparently. So it's a nod to that. And I just remember this being a movie that was talked about a lot, but never quite broke into the Oscars race. I think Defoe's nomination was the only one it picked up. But I never got around to seeing it. I always wanted to, and this feels like a good time.
Well, nice. Hey, I'm excited about that. I mean, I definitely, when you said the title, I was like, I wonder if that has anything to do with Disney World, and it does.
A little bit.
Sounds like an interesting film. And, you know, when is it set? Is it set, I guess, in the 90s?
I'm not sure.
Or, I guess it'll be set in the 70s then, huh?
Well, I don't know if it's like a, you know, direct reference or just a title reference. I don't think it's set in the 70s.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not exactly sure either.
Okay, well, that sounds interesting. Any other actors that we would recognize in it?
No. What's interesting about this movie is that a lot of the stars, it was their first time on film. Is another just fun fact about it. Now, Willem Dafoe is the biggest name attached to it, acting wise. But I'm excited.
What about you, Garrett? Do you know much about this?
Nope, not much outside of what Josh relayed. I remember it being Willem Dafoe and nominated for that, and then I remember our independent movie theater Circle Cinema had it showing as one of those things. But no, I never got a chance to see it either. So I do think this will be a first time for all of us.
Good. I love it when happens.
Very cool.
Well, before we talk about or tease the final movie real quick, just to recap, I'm going to be doing The Florida Project, which you can stream on Netflix if you'd like to join us. Garrett has chosen Swiss Army Man, which is streaming on Max. And David chose Uncut Gems, which is also streaming on Netflix. So we made that really easy for everybody.
Hopefully
that works out. Hopefully they stay there the whole month. Mm-hmm. But finally, we will at some point in this month also talk about A24's brand new film, Civil War. Let me pull that up on Letterboxd real quick. This movie is set in the near future. A group of war journalists attempt to survive while reporting the truth as the United States stands on the brink of civil war. This movie stars Kirsten Dunst, Nick Offerman as the president of the United States, I believe, which is kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Jesse Plemons is in this movie. Got a crazy cast. Really tense subject matter. Really tense time to be released. So I think this is going to be a talked about movie. And I'm excited we're going to talk about it.
Yeah, and directed by Alex Garland, who has a pretty short filmography so far, but so far pretty well liked by most. He was director of Ex Machina, Annihilation, Men back in 2022. He was the writer for 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later. Supposedly working on a 28 Years Later. We'll see if that comes out or when that comes out. So it'll be interesting because Ex Machina was one of the earlier A24 films. So this is sort of, they're sticking with, you know, some of the people that, you know, have started with them. Almost 4 years later, we have this one now. So, or not 4 years, 10 years later, we have this one now. So I'm pretty interested in it. I remember when the trailer came out, there were two things that stood out to me. One of them was the implication that Texas and California would be aligned in a union. And I was like, I don't feel like that's likely. And the other one was the immediate comments I saw were like, oh, man, journalists are the heroes. And I was like, oh, man, great. This crowd's going to love this movie. Well, here we go.
I think that it's going to be interesting because, you know, everything is so divisive in real life. You can't necessarily follow that because then you're just feeding into a certain stereotype, right? Mm-hmm. So it's really going to be interesting to see how and whatever develops with Texas and California to align them against the rest of America. You know, I'm super excited about this. It looks intense, and A24 knows how to deliver an intense movie. It's got a great cast, and so I really do. I really hope. I'm not going to say any promises because sometimes it's not my fault. But I really hope that it delivers on what I'm expecting. You know, I believe that it made one of our most anticipated. So
I think it did.
I think that it's going to be really. I think that it might get a lot of people out to the theater. I feel like it could have a surprising turnout of people going. I think it'll have a positive word of mouth, and I think that'll get people going.
Well, and it's such a what's the word? Not fantasy is the wrong word, but it's such a hot topic of conversation of, well, what if there's a civil war now? You know, civil war in the 1800s was a different, totally different ecosystem than what you have today. Just there's a lot of like what ifs and what would happen here. So I think that's going to be interesting to a lot of people. And yeah, I think there's a chance. I don't know. I won't make any bold predictions, but at the same time, I think that this one has the ability, or at least has the capability of broad appeal for an A24 film, which doesn't always happen. Oh, muted there, Josh.
Yeah, I think it's going to be divisive. I think people are going to come out of this and they're going to say they either hate it or love it, as what I'm expecting. Mm-hmm. I think it'll have a interesting scores on all the various scoring sites. It's just all my predictions, and it is. I think a lot of it is because I don't know if this is just not known or not. But I don't know. Yeah, why we're fighting in the movie? I don't know what causes the civil war. So that'll be interesting to see how people react to whatever that is, because surely it's going to be pushing some people's political buttons in some fashion. They're so easily pushed nowadays. So yeah, I expect a lot of conversation about this movie. I'm excited to talk about it. Should be a good month. We got a stellar lineup here. I'm excited. We've been killing it this year. If I do so say so, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it's been a pretty good year.
Pat yourself on the back, boys.
Whether we're talking Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, or whether we're talking about, you know, Texas versus Washington,
right?
Like we're gonna have fun.
All right. Well, that does it for us for this episode. We will get started with A24 Pearl officially next time. Be sure you subscribe on our YouTube channel if you haven't done that yet. We're shooting for that goal of 137. Hopefully by the time you're watching this, it's like 2029 and we have 1.9 million followers, and you're like, what are you talking about? Nah. Yeah. 137. That's all we want, and then we'll cut it off.
It's all we want. It's why exclusive. Doesn't matter.
But go do that. If you've been watching this video and you like what you see, go like it there. We've been posting videos of us talking about what we've been watching lately, what's been going on in the entertainment news, all kinds of fun stuff. So go do that. You can also check us out on the podcast feeds, wherever you get podcasts, and on social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Threads. And finally, at somanysequels.com, you can find all those links again, as well as links to all of our past episodes. So go check that out. We'll see you all next time.